Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, I'm delighted to have Nurse Sarah Kearns in. We're going to talk about lots today, particularly children catching everything. We were kind of mentioning this when you're walking out the door the last time you were in, because I dread getting an email from the creche because it's like some child has nits or hand, foot and mouth or some horrible illness or ailment, and I just dread that my kids catch it or they have caught it and it's horrible.
Have so, you had threadworms in your house?
No. Okay.
I know. Sometimes I just throw this at you. I'm like, do you want to bring it back? My friend Faye is so funny. She's like, you're not actually a parent until you're shining a torch up a kid's bum at 2 a.m. looking for these, because they come out of the bum and they wiggle around like you can see them. They're, it's absolutely, absolutely.
What? We're both scratching at it. And it's just, and kids, they get
licking
everything.
Each other. They're not washing their hands.
That's
they're living
what
a good
is.
Life. That's what it is.
They're living their best life, catching everything. Can we talk about head lice? And it's because this, I mean, we've all gone through it as a kid or our kids, whatever. And we did cover it recently, but it's so common, isn't it?
And you can't prevent it. Like, you can kind of listen, loads of people say, listen, I put my kids' hair in like a French braid every day. I can't do them. Head full of curls, like I can't do anything. They say, listen, that helps. It's touching, kids touching heads off each other, which they do all the time because they're in such close proximity. So it's sort of one, it's obviously more prevalent during term time. And I know we're coming to the end of term, but it's all year round. We had it really bad about 2 summers ago. And that was actually in July. And we don't know. I had it during lockdown. Like, where were my kids during lockdown? I don't know. It was so weird. So they could touch it off each other, like touch each other's heads. And then the head lice, they don't jump, but they crawl from head to head. And then really trying to prevent it, and that it just like spreads like wildfire through this pretty younger classes. After about 9, 10, you mightn't get it as easily, but it's particularly the little ones.
Yeah.
The only thing is to keep an eye. So like every week, one of my friends says every single week in particular, she just has a quick look after showers or baths or whatever you're doing, maybe after swimming, have a quick look and see, particularly behind the ears, at the base of the neck is where you'll find them most of the time. Just have a little look and see if you can see anything. You know, we were talking before that the head lice, they can grow quite big. Like, you can actually physically see them sometimes, it's particularly on maybe thinner hair or blondy hair. But then the white eggs are the eggs, the white little roundy bits are the eggs that they're the nits. So that's what the head lice have like hatched out of. So you'll have a mixture, but there's nothing you can do. The only thing to do, check every week, the nitty gritty metal nitty gritty comb is the only one. I was using the plastic ones and they just are not as good. You can get them in Boots and they're kind of like double pronged metal ones, and you basically take section by section. That spray detangler spray is really good. We use that because the girls have long
but
hair.
Can you see with the nitty gritty with the two prong? I always find if the yellow, because you can see if there's anything on it.
Yeah, you can see if anything on it.
I suppose it depends on the hair.
It depends on the hair. Yeah. It's a massive one. You can get a kitchen roll and actually wipe the do it in sections.
Do the swipe.
Go from the absolute root to the end and then just wipe it on a kitchen roll or a piece of paper and you can see what comes out.
I don't just do a quick check every week. I go at them with a comb every week.
Yeah.
It's really
good practice. Yeah.
It's good practice.
Yeah.
I'm doing a service to my fellow parents in schools. Yes. And I know I have a friend, a very posh friend, and her kids go to a very posh school. And the parents have clubbed together and people go into that school every month. They pay a fiver and they go through all the kids.
That is so clever.
Because, Sarah, let's be honest, and we're not bashing. I know parents are busy, but there are some parents who don't do it properly, and then the problem never leaves the room.
And they're sending their kids in
when
they know that they have head lice.
Yep.
So this
That should be jail time for those parents. Lock them up.
But you know what I found the absolute best? Firstly, talk to your school just about the policy. Dip, right? In our school, that if you do the treatment, you can come back to school. So that's our treatment. So we haven't actually touched wood, touched everything. We haven't had a head lice in either of the classes this year, okay? But do you know what I found really good? I used some people are like, listen, stay natural. Do the combing, use the detangler spray. It's really good. Hair into sections, root to tip, and search for the head lice. Do what you're doing. Then you can use tea tree treatments around to be really good. Just put it behind the ear every day, and it can apparently deter the head lice, that the kind of smell, and they won't come near the head. The only treatment that I found is really good is the Hedron mousse. I got stung the first time we'd had lice. We were in a campsite in Kenmare, and I'll actually never forget it. Looked over, could see on one of my kids the head lice, like walking,
jumping off her head.
I'm still not well. But I put an oil-based one in, couldn't get it out. Like, I'm talking about 30 washes of hair, couldn't. So anyway, since then, it's a mousse, because it just washes out after one go. So if you put that in, leave it, I think it's like 15 minutes, leave it in 15 minutes, wash it out, and then you can go back to school. They say that it'll kill them. But the only thing is that, just say that there is nits that haven't hatched yet and this doesn't get in through the sacs and doesn't kill them, you need to follow up. If you do the treatment, you need to follow up in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days, just every day, just check and do the fine combing.
If your kids are in school or in daycare, do every week put a comb through. You haven't been bath anyway. Just do it, because it's just
bring it
in.
But you know, if you brought it that they were reading a book, or you could just make
watching
it, and they
TV.
Know you're
yeah,
watching the TV.
Easier.
If they know that it's just coming and it's 10 minutes every week, you're right, because they're horrible to get rid of.
Horrible. Okay, can we talk about chicken pox? Because one of my kids had chicken pox, and the other one I got the vaccine for.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, why did I get the vaccine? Surely the chicken pox would have been better to get for his immune system or whatever, because I mean the chicken pox is not nice, but it's just really inconvenient.
Yeah, so it's a couple of different things, and it's funny, all my kids are vaccinated. I'm obviously pro-vaccine, but all my kids, and for a couple of different reasons, right? So one of the things is, if you get chicken pox at any stage in your life, it's a virus. And it goes back. So even when you're past your chicken pox, it lays dormant in your cells, right? And it can actually come out at a later life as shingles. And that's what shingles are. Shingles happen to people that have had chicken pox at some stage in their life. This virus is laying dormant, and then when you're run down. I have had shingles twice. I had shingles. I haven't had them in years, thank God. But I got diabetes after shingles. That was the virus that ended up. So like, it had actually serious consequences for me. Maybe I was going to get diabetes anyway, but it was.
So you were like, vaccinate all the kids.
Vaccinate the kids. There's a couple of different things. So chicken pox, it's funny. It's funny because we had actually talking about this, and then there was an article literally on the journal about 5 minutes ago saying that they're going to bring it in to the normal immune, you know. So when you have a baby, you get your vaccine 2, 4, 6 months. God, I should remember this. I've literally just done this. That's mom brain right there. And then 12 and 13 months, then you're finished. That's your immunization program done. So in Ireland, chickenpox vaccine isn't part of that system, but it's going
extra
to be.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's €80 a jab, so it's 160 get the two jabs. Then they're essentially fully immune. They're certainly 100% immune from getting a severe case of chickenpox. And they're talking, there was an article this morning that they're actually going to bring that in Australia, for example. You get one vaccine as part of that immunization program, and you can get it after they're one. So that's actually, one vaccine is free. And if you want the second one, which they get maybe 4, 5, 6, you have to pay for that, but it's part of it.
Okay, if you're unlucky enough to get chickenpox, what do you do?
Right, so like chickenpox is a funny one. It's kind of can't be hard to spot at the beginning, right? So it's generally, they'll be kind of off form for about 2 days before. So there might be aches and pains, a little bit of a temperature, just not themselves. And then it can be as short as 12 hours later, they'll come up in this red rash. It can happen all over the body, inside the mouth. It can happen anywhere. Generally, you see it maybe along the trunk of the body. Red rash, right? This red bumpy rash. And then within a day or two, the red rash then kind of turns into the circle, it gets gooey, it turns into a blister, and that's when you know. And then it goes in peaks and waves, so you'll get new red spots, they'll turn into blisters, then the blisters will scab over and fall off. But you basically need to stay at home and away, and I'll tell you why. But you need to, if your child has chickenpox, firstly, you can Google a picture of what chickenpox looks like, right? You can ring if you're worried, if you need to get it checked, you can certainly contact a nurse or a doctor or whatever. But you need to stay at home. I tell you why, until all of the scabs are the little kind of gooey bits, are all the spots are scabbed over and healed. Because if that goo that's inside the blisters, right, is what's going to be contagious. As well as the respiratory system. It comes out in respiratory droplets. So you can actually catch chickenpox off somebody through just breathing. you know, in the same room with someone, it's so contagious.
Okay.
So they say, like, if somebody hasn't had, so once you get chickenpox, you're essentially immune, right? Most, like, essentially from, like, vast majority of people, they're completely immune then. But just say you meet somebody who isn't immune or is immunocompromised, maybe they have something like diabetes or something that, or maybe on chemo, maybe they're old or maybe they're a newborn baby and they're not immune or their immune system's down. You can actually, if they get it, they can get really, really sick. Adults who get chickenpox can get really, really sick. So that's why it's really important to isolate yourself until all the scabs, or isolate the child until all the scabs are healed over. It can take 1 to 2 weeks in total. And then, so we had had this conversation. I remember sitting around the coffee table in work and I was saying that one of my kids, it must have been Esme, was going in for her chickenpox vaccine. One of the girls saying, oh, I didn't get vaccinated. And I was saying, like, for me as a parent, a couple of things. I never wanted them to even experience chickenpox. And like, even if it's mild, it's a miserable out. Like, you get temperatures, you can get really unwell. One of the girls at the table was saying one of her friends' child got it and it ended up intubated in ventilation ICU. It's really rare to get really sick from chickenpox. It is rare, but it's a possibility.
What's the difference between chickenpox and shingles?
So it presents similarly enough. Okay, so when you get chickenpox, virus goes into your system, lays dormant, and the shingles will come out during times that your immune system's down and it'll rear its ugly head, right? So it'll come out in the blister form again. You start with this tingling. Usually happens, well, it can happen younger people, but generally when you're a bit older, when you're going through maybe times of stress or whatever, you might get tingly. It follows nerve paths. So people often get it on their trunk around their main nerve paths in the middle of their body. When I got it, I had it up my face. I thought I had mosquito bites in this perfectly straight line along my cheek. And my mum was like, why is that? And I was like, it's weird that. And she's like, I think that could be shingles because it was present. Oh, and it was following this nerve path along my face. So you get this tingling, red spot, blister. So it presents really like chickenpox, but it goes on and on. But the problem is because shingles then can follow these nerve paths, you can be left with nerve pain. Okay. Loads of people report that.
Okay.
Yeah, that you can be left with this ongoing pain.
Before I let you go, worms.
Oh, the worms.
Come on.
Okay, let's do this.
Let's do it.
So spread, thread worms, right? Thread worms. Spread from child to child, unwashed hands. It's just how usual things spread, right? So you'll know you have it.
How do you know you have your kid has thread worms?
They will inform you at night. They might be, you know, crying in their sleep, but they'll be scratching around their bum.
Okay.
Their bum then on examination would be red, excoriated. They'll be so uncomfortable with the itching and the squirming, and you'll look, and if you get lucky with your phone torch, you'll be able to see this little white thread worm coming out the bum hole and wiggling around.
Oh,
and
lovely.
That's what's making it so itchy.
Oh,
and it comes out in their poo. So
okay.
Listen, with chickenpox or worms or any of these things, you need to get the bed sheets, get the jammies they're wearing. Take them off. Burn them as an option, or boil wash at the very least. Bed sheets, pillowcases, everything, clothes, knickers, everything. Like massively.
Why? It's not just one worm. It's a load of worms.
It's a load of worms.
Like knits.
And
like
it's in the bowels.
It's in the bowels.
It comes into their body and goes down to their bowels, and then they develop, and then it comes out their bum.
Lovely.
With their poo.
And so, how do you get? Okay, you wash the sheets, but how do you get rid?
So. As part of my family routine is that I deworm my kids every 2 months. I deworm all of us. I do grandparents, everyone in our social circle. I just do it, right? So it's called Veramox. You get it over the counter in the chemist.
It's prevention.
And it's treatment. So you have to take double, I think it's like 2 teaspoons. That's your pharmacist. 2 teaspoons if you have worms, or if you want to prevent it, because every couple of months, go in. It's called Veramox white liquid.
Can I just say, hands down now, I've never experienced thread worms, but now I'm going to be, with my delousing, I'm going to
We're going to add more.
Yes, deworming my kids. Oh my God.
Yeah, add more to the list.
I'm going to be so busy on a Friday night. I'm going to have no life.
Oh, do you know what I was going to say to you? If you're with the chicken pox, if anyone does present with chicken pox in your house, you know, it's really good. Go to your pharmacist. Mm. There may be options for calamine lotion is always really popular. We were talking earlier on, some people swear by putting oats, like mashing up oats, put them on. There's herbal remedies. Go to your pharmacist. There is calamine lotion. The Zyrtec antihistamines might be appropriate depending on the age.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's called Oilatum, and another one called Pox Clean, and it's sort of like this chamomile lotion that can be expensive but really effective just for putting on the blisters. If you are immunocompromised, if you come in close contact and you are pregnant, particularly pregnant and you've never had chickenpox, you need to ring your midwives. Just that there can be a small chance that that could make you sick or make the baby sick. If there's a baby in your house, if you have chickenpox in your house and you have a baby in your house that's really young, maybe under 3 months or under a month, you just need to contact your GP and just say, hey, listen, what should I do here? And it might be a case that you need to isolate away for until the scabs are healed.
Okay. Lovely chat today. We're all scratching. Sorry, I got a text in. Oh, Jen, I'm a 40-year-old man driving around scratching the head off myself listening to you too. That's from David Mayo. Thanks for that. And thanks, Sarah Kern.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.